Hi, everyone. So welcome back to V-Science Podcast. My name is Tony Villarreal, and I wanted to say thank you for those of you who listened for the podcast last week about European honeybees. I hope you all enjoyed that. I know I did definitely enjoy sitting down with a couple of my students and discussing real science topics with them, not just, you know, lecturing to students. So that's something that I really hope that we can continue this from now until May this semester. That way my students can get a real feel for discussing these science topics. So this week's topic is about offshore drilling in the Gulf of Mexico. So hopefully you enjoy that and you learn a little bit out of there as well. So thanks. Okay, guys, so let's start by having you guys introduce yourself. So we'll start right here.
I'm Elizabeth Rodriguez.
Mm-hmm. And I'm Andrea Gallardo.
And you guys are both seniors here at SA3, right?
Yes.
Going to get your associates on track?
Yes, sir.
Right. Yes. D's get degrees, right? I'm just kidding.
Especially in this class.
No. You're not going to get D's.
Well, no maybe. D's. I don't know. We're
going to
get a C.
No. You should. Okay. So we did our podcast assignment. It was almost a month ago now, if you think about it. Because I saw you guys.
It was like the 19th.
Yeah, you guys submitted it on the 19th and the 20th. So it's been a while now. First month of school is in the books. I wanted to ask, why did you pick drilling? Like, what's the thing about drilling in the Gulf?
I picked it. Well, I asked Andrea if she was okay with it because I saw it on an Instagram story for like the environmental activist stuff.
Okay.
And it made me cry with the people that were affected on the coast. Mm. There was a lot of kids getting respiratory problems, like from elementary to high school, and then there's also the elderly that got like lung cancer from the oil, not from necessarily the oil spills, but like how they handled it.
Mm-hmm.
So like the core exit that they used, it got them really ill, and I thought that it needed to be noticed more. Like maybe it was like a couple years ago. Like,
yeah, it was actually like it was 10 years ago.
Yeah, actually, I saw it. I watched CNN this morning, and it's like 10 years ago it happened, the spill in the Gulf of Mexico.
Yeah, and that went on for a while. That's the thing. So. Well, in your podcast, you were talking about how are ways we can deal with this, right? And one of the things that I thought was interesting was you were talking about raising the fuel mileage on cars, right? Because cars have a standard, right? 32 miles per gallon, or if you've got like a Hummer, it's like, that's like 8 miles per gallon, right? So how's that going to help us, like, reduce our oil?
Well, it would reduce mainly consumption for like maybe like 1,000 people. It's a basically like gradual change. Like maybe it's not something like super big, and everyone likes having more miles on this gun. So that'd be better news than
just
saying
all money, right?
Yeah, it's mainly money. It's better than saying like, oh, we're not gonna use any coal anymore, so you can't use it for electricity, and you have to cut straight out, because it's just like a habit. Like you cut it out slowly, you start slow, and then you build on that.
That's true. Okay, and so one of the things that I noticed was going on is that, you know, your podcast was a lot about like the health impacts for people, right? It's a dangerous job, very hard work out there, right? I mean, that's actually what caused that oil spill, right? It was an explosion. Right? So my thing is, I'm curious, besides the health impact of humans, right? That's a thing. What is an oil spill like that? How did it affect the Gulf? Like, how does it affect the ecosystems, I guess? Yeah.
Well, as far as I remember, there was a lot of deformities in fish, and then fishing went down a lot. Mm. So people's resources went down, and so did prices. They went up because of that. And it's mainly that's where they get their money from. So it's the people's health and then the environmental health. So basically it's like a direct...
And did the oil like go away quickly, or is it like still hanging around there?
It's still hanging around right now.
Oh, okay.
And it's very expensive because they have to clean it up. It's costing like billions of dollars.
Yeah, that's the thing I noticed. Like a lot of people, when it comes out, the problem's a real big deal. In 2010, you know, for years, 4 or 5 years later, it was still a big deal. But now it's been 10. And I was wondering.
And they're still cleaning it up.
Yeah, so they're still cleaning it up. That's the thing I wonder about, because it's always a big deal. Now, when that oil spill happened, there was a big outcry, right? Was there any like change made regulation wise, or was it just like, okay, well, it happened, we fixed it,
and then move on?
Yeah. Was that what happened?
There was this one thing I saw in TED Ed, mm-hmm. or TED Talks, that they were trying to put forth like a banning of Corexit. That's one of the reasons why I know about it,
mm-hmm.
is that one of the scientists that was working there that was also helping with the environmental health and the people over there on the coast,
mm-hmm.
that they were trying to push that they shouldn't be using Corexit because of all these health hazards. But
and so what is that? What is Corexit?
It's like a chemical. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure how to describe it because it's just basically like a chemical they use to like break down the oil.
Mm-hmm.
But when it does that, it traps. I'm not exactly sure what it is because it's been a while, but it traps like this thing and it has poison on the leftover, like a residue. So okay. when fish would like absorb it in the water and people would breathe it,
They
got really sick. So that's they got lung cancer, and then the fish got deformities, and they would die right away. And they're trying not to come up for air or food,
yeah.
they would just kill them right off the bat. So,
okay. So, so we're talking about oil and how it's, you know, it's a big deal, right? Like we need it. That's kind of what the bulk of people are still driving around. And so do you think that, you know, we've heard about Tesla and Elon Musk, and we always hear about electric cars. You know, for a while, like it seemed like every car company was like, "Oh, look at our electric car!" Right? Mm-hmm. It was like Nissan had the Leaf was the Nissan, and then Chevy had like a car called the Volt. But I don't know if they make those anymore. and so, like, do you think there's a future for no more oil in cars, or is it just are we just like stuck to it? Yeah.
Well, considering the past couple like decades, I think we're still going to be stuck with it for a little longer.
Mm.
Just like sure, we've like innovated to like electricity, but how many people do you see with electric cars these days?
That's true.
And who can afford them? Too?
Yeah,
that's true. They have
not a lot of people can afford those type
and
of cars.
Plus, you're still using coal for fuel.
Yeah, so that's true. That's for the house.
You're just switching fuel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so even if you plug your car in, you're getting your energy from a non-coal source, you're still pretty much doing all that, right?
Yeah.
Now, one of the things that what strikes me about people using oil is that we always like to like buy our way out of the problem, right? It's like we talk about buying a new car, we can buy this or buy that. Is there a way where we can like, how do I say it? Maybe design smarter, like, because I mean, think about it. People drive everywhere, right? We drive to school, to work. Are there any like plans you think in the future, or should there be plans to maybe make it so that you don't have to drive everywhere? Maybe there's a bus or a subway or even bikes. Like, what do you guys think about those type of solutions?
There are a couple buses. It depends, but like, I don't think people use them just because, like, they're like, oh, I want my own car. Or, like, if not, I can just get a bike and that's easier.
Mm-hmm.
They just want to get there faster, the faster.
Yeah. And that's how it goes. I mean, it's a convenience thing, right?
Yeah.
So do you think – what is it that, like, people could do? What, you know, if you're just a regular person, you know, you're not a senator or a CEO of a company, right? What could a regular person do to maybe reduce the need for offshore drilling or even just drilling anywhere, you know, oil use?
Well, all I know is that a number of people just protest or they just don't do anything to support it in any way. So.
Or they post it on social media since that's what we're using nowadays.
Yeah, because that's easier to
just spread the word.
Yeah, and spread the word.
That's good. And you think that works, like getting the word out, making sure that people are aware of it?
That's how a lot of people found out about the young girl, though. She was 16 or 17. What's her name?
Greta Thunberg.
Greta Thunberg, mm-hmm. Yeah. That's how a lot of people found out about her. And she was getting mad at the politicians, like, I'm a 16-year-old girl, and I'm doing more than you have in, like, the past, like, I don't even know how long.
Oh,
and I'm getting more stuff done. And she doesn't even go to school.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So social media is probably, like, the best thing to do as a regular person.
That's good. And so, okay, so BP, you know, in 2010, the oil spill happened, right? It was a real big deal. And then they ended up having a kind of a big cleanup for a while. They got fined a bunch of money. And now, you know, we were mentioning earlier that there's still cleanup going on, right? And I was reading an article about how they're making these habitats for pelicans and stuff like that. And I was just thinking, you know, how do you think that other species might benefit from this too, right? Like, is there any good that comes out of an oil spill, or is it all just bad all the time, everywhere? Yeah.
I feel it's bad.
Yeah. Like, most of the time it's bad, but like, maybe there's some good out of it, because maybe like an organism there, they change, they adapt to it. So because something happens, kind of like they have to adapt to it. Otherwise, they'll just die off.
And see, my thought was when I was reading an article like that, I was thinking, well, you know, what I do like about it is that you decide, okay, well, we're going to save this habitat for pelicans or, you know, ocelots or whatever species you want, but it doesn't always just benefit them, right? Yeah. You know, there's always other birds or squirrels or other type of animals that decide they live in that area too. That's what I do like about that habitat restoration stuff. So one last question before we start wrapping it up here is, what do you think the future looks like? You know, like, let's say 60, 70, 100 years from now, you know, eventually we're going to hit peak oil. We're going to have used as much as we can, or at least as much as we can find. And, you know, now we're switching to natural gas. But what do you think long term? What do you think we'll be doing, like, besides just fossil fuels? Or what do you hope we'll be doing? You know, because you guys are young, you're about to graduate and move on. What do you hope the future looks like when it comes to energy and transportation and stuff?
You don't have to worry about much, like, gas prices going up, or like it's getting drained at a, like, an alarming rate, or we have to look for more supplies. In long term, I don't think anything will change. Maybe there'll be like a new innovation. Maybe that'd be nice. But because we as a society, like, we like to say that we like change, but the only things we have changed has been over like decades. It takes decades just to make one change in one thing. Like, I don't think it's gonna change so far. But
because we don't have to worry about it. Not to worry about it. And I hope that they can make it a safer environment, so that doesn't happen again, and that doesn't affect the environment or climate change and stuff.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, if you can kind of take those little pieces, little events like that, or big events like that, and make change from it, hopefully you can make a big picture. Make it happen better in the big picture, right? Okay, so the last thing, I do like to ask a personal question before we wrap these things up, right? And so I'll start with you, Andrea. Now, I'm going to ask, you're going to graduate this year, right? You're going to have your associate's and your high school degree. What do you want to do with those degrees, and what do you want to do with your life? Like, or, you know, not so much what's your major going to be, but what do you want to be?
Like, when I'm older?
Yeah.
Well, since I was very involved in, like, athletics my high school career, I like to be a coach, because I feel like I have gained a lot of training and experience to, like, from my coaches and from my classmates and teammates. And I want to pass that on. Like, I was treated as, like, a student athlete. Mm-hmm. And then I followed someone's footsteps, and I want to pass that down to a younger generation.
That's awesome. That's cool. Elizabeth, how about you? Yeah. What do you want to do with your associates and your high school degree, and then eventually go on with that? What do you want to be?
Well, as of now, I'd say a teacher, but it's kind of changing a little bit. Not so much like I want to get out of teaching, because I like it. I love teaching. It's just the grade level, because I don't know. I've done high school and elementary, and kids are, like, awesome sometimes, unless they're not nasty and sneezing all over you and getting you nasty.
That is true. It is bad out there.
They make you I like my elementary kids more. I'd say probably teaching elementary right now. But
okay, that's good. All right. Well, thank you guys for stepping in and, you know, using some of your time after your tests. So, all right, appreciate it. So it is Valentine's Day, and before we do end our episode, I wanted to give you a little bit of the biology behind Valentine's Day. So in reading an article, and I put that link in the description as well, about Valentine's Day and love, there are actually three different connections that humans make when it comes to love. There's actually one connection called lust, one by attraction, and then one called attachment. Each of these is actually driven by a different set of chemicals. So lust is driven by testosterone and estrogen. And then the attraction phase, that one's driven by dopamine, norepinephrine, and serotonin. And then the traditional, you know, rom-com attachment part, that would be your oxytocin and vasopressin. So there's a really great article from Harvard Science in the News from 2017 that I did put in the podcast description. So happy Valentine's Day, and see you next week.